Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you, filling in for Sean Carey today. It's great to be back here on the show. We'll talk to Steve Jones in just 1 second from the Sunbury Motors studio. And, of course, they are today's sponsor of today's show, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai on the 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And, of course, we have a big show planned for today. Donovan Smith of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the left tackle, of course, the blind side protection for Jameis Winston, is going to join the show today at 3:35 today. He'll be talking, of course, his Penn State roots, and just signed a big contract extension with Tampa Bay. A 3-year, $41.25 million deal was reported last week by the NFL Network's Mike Garafolo. And so he'll also be getting $27 million fully guaranteed. So the team and Smith avoiding the franchise tag, and he'll be staying in Tampa Bay. And a big one there for the Bucs to keep him intact. Of course, Smith, a second-round pick out of Penn State in 2015 to Tampa Bay, immediately got the start at the left tackle spot and has made all 64 starts since then. So that'll definitely be a good thing to catch up with Donovan Smith a little bit later on. 3:35 today here on the Steve Jones Show, so we do look forward to that. Of course, you can always follow the show on Twitter at SteveJonesPSU. We're at Steve Jones Show on Facebook, SteveJonesShow.com. There you can find all the latest podcasts from the last 3 months or so, latest Penn State news and sports news and notes. You can also download the podcast as well on Apple, Google Play, or iTunes as well. So a lot of good stuff coming up there, especially with Donovan Smith joining the show today. And also tonight, we continue with the first four in the NCAA tournament. Last night, Belmont getting the win against Temple, which ends Temple head coach Fran Dunphy's run there, and also Phil Martelli is gone at St. Joe's, so a lot of changes in the Big Five in Philadelphia. And also Fairleigh Dickinson nearby from New Jersey, of course, beat St. Francis in the NEC Championship out in Loretto, PA. They come up with a big comfort behind win last night against Prairie A&M, so they will play Gonzaga, the one seed in the West Bracket, coming up later this week for their first round matchup. And then tonight at 6:40, we've got NC Central and North Dakota State. Winner of that game, of course, gets the number one overall seed, Duke. And Zion Williamson, of course, Duke is the very heavy favorite to win it all for the tournament this year. And, of course, we have Arizona State and St. John's. They will play at 9:10 today. And the winner of that one will head to the first round as well. They will take on this six-seed Buffalo, who's actually, I think, is going to be a very good team to watch out for. So that'll be a tough go for the first round, whoever wins that game between Arizona State and St. John's. Both will be on True TV. And then coming up as well on Thursday and Friday, of course, is the first round. And then second round is this weekend. So we'll definitely look forward to that for the NCAA tournament. Always love this time of the year. So definitely going to be a fun weekend for sure. I love this time of the year. We have two games going on at once. It's great. And we look at this Final Four, at least from my perspective. I got my bracket filled out. I got Duke number one in there first, North Carolina, and I have also in there is Florida State, and I have Tennessee. So that's my Final Four. I like the Florida State squad. A lot of seniors. They have a lot of good size. They had a really good run in the ACC tournament, so I think they can be one to be reckoned with in the tournament. And then Houston, I like a lot, too. I got them to the Elite Eight before losing to North Carolina. I think North Carolina is a really, really solid team. I was actually going back and forth. I have a Duke and North Carolina final championship game, which I think would just be tremendous. I mean, that all the games really have been great this year, especially the last one in the semifinals of the ACC tournament. I think that'd be great to see, and that'd be a great matchup. But I think I got Duke as the champ. I just think they're too much to handle. Now that Zion's back and fully healthy, this team's really tough to stop. And they just play better with Zion on the floor. So I think that's going to be a tough one to beat there for anybody. But if anybody's going to do it, it would be North Carolina. That was actually a pretty tough pick for me, too, because I thought North Carolina had the chance to be the favorite if Zion wasn't healthy and didn't return for the Duke Blue Devils to begin the tournament, or if he somehow were to get hurt during the tournament. Hopefully that won't be the case for Duke. Then I think North Carolina is your second-best team in there. So I think those are the two best teams. So I got them in the championship game, Duke as the winner. And I like this Tennessee squad a lot, too. And they're actually going to play Colgate, who defeated, of course, Bucknell in the Patriot League title game last Wednesday up in Hamilton, New York. So they got a really tough card dealt to them, the Raiders did, to begin their NCAA tournament journey, as they'll take on Tennessee. I believe that game is Friday, and that is in the South bracket. So I think that game's going to be Friday. So that's a tough one for Colgate. I don't think they have much of a chance against that Tennessee squad. Just a lot of depth there, too. Good shooting team, and I think they're going to get to the Final Four, too. I like them a lot, and I have them beating Virginia in the Elite Eight.
Matty Ice.
Steve, it's great to be back here with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here as well, Matt.
Especially for March Madness time.
Boy, did anybody ever tell you that you'd sound great on Shikellamy football? All right, so
I've heard.
Hey, from Sean, me, Jamie.
Yeah, a little bit of everybody, I guess, yeah.
Except for one guy. Who doesn't think this conversation's funny? Donovan Smith from the Tampa Bay Bucks is going to be joining us. Former Nittany Lion. He's going to be here in town for the Autism Speaks event coming up, of which I have emceed that event. I think 11 years I've done that, where I've been the MC for that. Good people, and we'll be talking with him on the show today. All right, let's give everybody their wrestling fix today. The NCAA Wrestling Championships begin tomorrow in Pittsburgh at PPG Paints Arena. Jeff Byers will join us from Pittsburgh today. See, so we're on top of the wrestling thing. You know, we promised we would be. They had their big NCAA Wrestling Championship press conference today. And so we'll talk to Jeff about everybody. Nolf, Nickel, Hall, Kassar, RBY, Nick Lee, Shakur Rashid, and the hometown guy, Vincenzo Joseph, the two-time defending champion who has gone home to Pittsburgh to try and win the title this time. I don't know how much of a motivator that is. I don't know how much of a distraction that is to be there. He will certainly have plenty of fans in the audience for him in Pittsburgh. We will talk with Jeff Byers about that today as well. Yesterday was the combine here. And DeAndre Tompkins, by the way, was thrilled with what he ran. When he was done, I was standing off to the side, and he specifically came over to me, and he leaned, and he whispered in my ear, he goes, I did 4.31. Like, I was like, holy cow, that's what he needed to do. That's what he needed to do. I mean, the 4.31 is what he needed. Nick Scott really combined well yesterday. He did really well. And Trace McSorley was 49 of 52 in the Trace had told me on Saturday when I talked to him there was going to be 52 plays we were going to script for him. And he was 49 of 52 on the script yesterday. Not bad. All right, that brings us to the big story of the day. And I started with this yesterday. It is not getting enough national play. It needs to get more national play. Because this, to me, is a direction I don't like intercollegiate athletics going in. I can understand that when a player transfers, if there is something specific, something awful happened on campus with them, personally, atmospherically, whatever it may be, I understand. You have to have common sense about each situation. But Tate Martell transferring because he looked at the competition and said, I don't think I can beat out that guy. And being allowed to play right away, I have no problem with the transfer. You can transfer all you want. Believe me, I just did college basketball. There was a couple players this year that were on their third school. I've seen players that have been four schools in 4 years. But why does Hunter Johnson, you're asking, who is Hunter Johnson? You can jump in and ask that if you want. Maddie?
And who would that be?
Hunter Johnson has a chance to be the starting quarterback this year at Northwestern.
Oh.
He was at Clemson. And he transferred. Saw Kelly Bryant. He saw Trevor Lawrence. Because Lawrence had already signed. He said, I think I should transfer. So he transfers to Northwestern. Well, guess what he does at Northwestern? He sits out a year. Now, why does Hunter Johnson have to sit out a year and Tate Martell doesn't? What's the difference? What is the difference? That's what bothers me about this. Hunter Johnson, even in a basketball sense, why did Isaiah Brockington have to sit out this year for Penn State basketball? It's the same circumstance as Martell. What's the difference? No difference. Yet Tate Martell gets to play right away at Miami. That bothers me. I really felt Shea Patterson should never have played right away at Michigan. Well, look at the situation with the NCAA going in and, you know, hammering Ole Miss football. Excuse me, did they stop playing football at Ole Miss I didn't know about? The only thing that they were going to miss out was on a bowl game. So 1 second you're telling me that it's okay to miss bowl games, but the next second you're telling me it's okay to transfer because they aren't playing a bowl game? You got to be consistent here. I mean, you're telling me it's okay to miss bowl games. The staff at Ole Miss, Hugh Freeze, of course, out, Steve Luke in, but guess what? He was elevated on the staff. Same situation in Ohio State. Urban Meyer retires. Ryan Day becomes the head coach. Let's see. Oh, that's a dramatic change for Tate Martell. Oh, really? No. Yeah, that's his position coach. That is his coordinator now becoming the head coach. Again, I completely back his ability to transfer. But his ability to play right away sets a very bad precedent, in my opinion, in college sports. That sets a bad precedent. Now, if there was some mitigating circumstance, let's take the disastrous one. Something has happened to a family member. I'm transferring. I got to be close to them. Boom. I'm looking at them. I'm the NCAA. I see something like that. I find out more about it, and I say, hey, yeah, you can play right away. Hey, you got to do these things with a heart. But when somebody's just doing it because they don't have the guts to handle the competition, a competition they don't even know about, I mean, we have no idea how good Justin Fields really is. None. We can guess. But the bottom line is he didn't want to go through the competition. Well, whomever his attorney is or his advisor happens to be must have done an incredible job with the NCAA. Because now you couple this with the ruling that was made in Alston versus the NCAA 10 days ago, where they keep the model intact, but now you have to provide whatever they need educationally. Nobody knows what that means. What are the parameters? If you're an athletic director, you're sitting in Sandy Barber's chair. They've made it a complete guessing game. We live in an apartment 5 miles away from the football facility. Four players. Instead of taking the bus, educationally, it would help us if we had a car and a parking pass. I mean, is that possible? Now you've got, I mean, to me, this brings up, that brings up questions. And the Martell thing, you now have, what, 54 out of 62 players that have applied for waivers getting accepted? What did the eight do wrong that they didn't get anything? Again, now Hunter Johnson transferred a year ago. He was not in this cycle. But why is it he had to sit out a year? Why? He has a chance to be the starting quarterback at Northwestern this year, but why did he have to sit out a year? What's the difference between Hunter Johnson, other than timing, Hunter Johnson transferring and sitting out a year, and Tate Martell going from Ohio State to Miami again? I have no problem with Martell transferring. You transfer, you got to sit out a year. People will cite coaches moving from job to job. Well, they have built into those, obviously, buybacks, where you've got to pay a number to get out of the contract. We have it in our business. If you have an anchor on ESPN that wants to go to Fox Sports, even when their contract's up, you notice how they disappear for 9 months? That's the non-compete. You have an anchor at CNN, suddenly wants to go over to Fox News. You notice how they disappear for 9 months? Non-compete. Megyn Kelly left Fox News, went to NBC. You notice that she was out of the loop for 9 months. Hey, non-competes happen in the professional world. Now, there's some people Matt and I would want to give away, but that's in our business. But that's another story for another day, isn't it, Matty Ice?
Yes, definitely.
I wonder who that might be. All right. But, so in the professional world, that happens too. Sit out a year. Unless they're absolute, in each case is a case-by-case basis. But you have to have the ability to look at it. There's no earthly reason why Tate Martell had the transfer, except he didn't want to compete with that guy. Yeah, his head coach left. His position coach is now the head coach. You would think that would put him in better shape. Remarkable. Just remarkable. I just see stuff like this, and I just think it's just a really bad step for intercollegiate athletics. And Tate Martell was always the one that I targeted through this transfer portal thing and said, when that's the one, when the decision on that one comes down, we'll now know where the NCAA stands. Not so much what happened with Justin Fields. Even Shea Patterson, okay, to a point, even though I did not, I know he competed against Penn State. That's irrelevant to me. That's irrelevant. Right. Right. But I see, you know, and Jalen Hurts has his degree. So he can play for Oklahoma right away. He has his degree. But the Martell, the one is the one where it's obvious why he's leaving. Because he looked at the competition, got in the field of position, said he couldn't handle it, and left. It's about what it comes down to. And they let him get away with it, where now he gets to go to Miami. All right? You can go to Miami. You can transfer. You got to sit out of here. Because the only reason you're leaving is because you don't want to compete with him. And please don't tell me Miami offers some course that Ohio State doesn't. We'll come, I mean, because that isn't going to wash at all. Back with more in a moment. Donovan Smith next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I'm very pleased to be joined by one of my favorite people. Privilege of being around him in his years here at Penn State, Donovan Smith of the Tampa Bay Bucks. Donovan, it's great to hear from you again.
Good seeing you, man. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Dono. And first of all, congratulations on the contract. Look, you work hard to get to this point. It's a business, but you, how happy were you with how that played out?
Man, words can't even describe. I was so speechless, you know, just, you know, as you know, everything going on and the hard work and everything. And it's like, oh, the what ifs. And, you know, agency did a good job and, you know, was able to get things done. So it was a blessing for sure.
That's because the Tampa Bay quarterbacks from your side are still upright. So that's a big, it's a big reason behind that. When you were, I remember talking with you in the end zone at spring practice last year, and I said, how much does Jameis Winston appreciate you?
Right. Man, I know that was, shoot, that felt like yesterday.
it's exactly right. It does feel like yesterday. What has the professional experience been like? Because, look, high school football is one thing, college football is something else. What about the professional experience? What has made that different for you?
What's different about it is just, you know, what you learn and the learning curve. Just from, you know, coming from experience of being able to get out there and play. And, you know, it's a lot of, you know, trial by fire type of thing. Because, like, you know, you can talk about it and everything. But until you're out there and you know, actually in between the crossfire and everything, you really don't get to experience it all. So, you know, just definitely being out there is mentally fast, and you know, just the many life lessons, you know, that you learn from the different guys, coaches, and just, you know, being out there.
You also done a great job of learning the life lessons and getting yourself involved. I want to ask you about Autism Speaks. I know here in the State College chapter, I've emceed that event 11 years in a row. Tell us about Aiden's Warriors. And what has made Autism Speaks so important to you, Donna?
So it's so important to me. My nephew, you know, his name is Aiden. He was diagnosed with nonverbal autism. So, you know, as a family member, it's kind of hard, you know, seeing my brother having to, you know, sit there. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, what's wrong? You know, we need to figure out. And you go through all these testing. It's really hard. So, and it's one of those things that a lot of people don't understand. So, you know, it's near and dear to me. You know, he's a great kid. He's full of, you know, joy, laughter, and everything. So, you know, just a way for me to show my support and give back, you know, to something that's near and dear to me. You know, I've became, you know, so heavily involved with it the past few years. You know, like I said, we have a walk coming up in Tampa on April 27th, and, you know, I'm going to be doing my second annual bowling event May 13th down in Tampa. So, you know, everything, all proceeds go to Autism Speaks, and, you know, it's just something that, you know, I want to continue to do.
And by the way, here in State College, they've done the Autism Speaks Run Walk every year in early April, and to its credit, Penn State has been the number one college campus fundraiser for Autism Speaks, but the numbers tell you why it's so important. At one point, I remember when I first did this, Donovan, I want to say they were telling me, you know, it's in the script, obviously, then you try to research these things. Right. Like 1 in 263, all right? Then also the number became 1 in 190. Then the number became 1 in 163. Now it's some numbers like 1 in 84. I think that some people may not realize how critical actually this is and why these runs, walks, and bowling is so important to raise funds.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just, it's all about the knowledge and allowing people to understand it. And, you know, a lot of people are affected, you know, then they give not even credit, but, you know, then people know, because it's like you're kind of like in denial, like, no, can't be, and until you're fully diagnosed with it, you know, that's when the numbers start, you know, fluctuating and changing. So,
all right, let's get back to football for a moment, then we'll get back to Autism Speaks at the end of it here. And the football part of it is that you go into this season at Tampa Bay with, obviously, look, the NFL's a wide-open league in a lot of ways. Teams can move from out of the playoffs to in the playoffs. How close do you think, when you look at your team, how close do you think they are to being a playoff team?
Oh, we're really close. You know, we say that each year, and although the record sometimes doesn't show it, just knowing the pieces and the guys and the coaches and everything that we have in our facility, you know, it's just a flip of a coin away. And, you know, you got to believe that each year going into it. So, but no, definitely, we're definitely, you know, I see that in the near future.
Give us a little indicator of the kind of guy Jameis Winston is. What kind of guy is he in practice? What kind of guy is he in the locker room? What kind of guy is he in the huddle?
Oh man, he's great. You know, as Jameis is, he's a natural born leader, and you know he's gonna make sure that his guys know that no matter what, he got their backs, and you know who don't want that, you know, as a leader. And to be out there just to have fun with him, you know, he gets a lot of scrutiny for it, but you know, we're all like that. We all have that big kid in us and everything, and you know, he likes to have fun, and you know, ultimately he loves to win, and you know, like I said, he's a great family man, you know, God fearing man, you know, I can go on and on about him, but yeah, no, he's definitely a great person, great player, on and off the field.
All right, which then gets me to Chris Godwin. There's another Penn State connection down there with you. Now, obviously, he's going to make plays, and you don't see them made until you watch the film next week. But what has he meant to the Bucs?
Oh, man, CG12, my boy. He's meant a lot since the day he, you know, stepped into that locker room. You know, I told him, said, no matter what, you know, I'm rocking with you. But, you know, just make sure you give it your all. And, you know, knowing Chris, you know, that's what he does. He's a silent worker. And, you know, he's going to go out there and make sure he gets his job done. And, you know, like I said, you turn on that film and you see him make big plays. And, you know, this year is going to be huge for him. You know, some of the moves that we made and him stepping into a bigger role right next to Mike and everything, it's definitely going to be huge. And, you know, I'm excited to see it.
And I think you're referring to Mike Evans.
Mike Evans.
Yeah. Oh, no. For some odd reason, Central Pennsylvania is not deeply immersed in the Bucs, so I have to fill in the gap. what about Bruce Arians coming in, who has brought with him a great pedigree, success wherever he's been, Steelers offensive coordinator. My goodness, Donovan, I go back to when he was the head coach at Temple. Okay, that just means I'm old. All right. So, but what has a guy with that kind of pedigree meant to the enthusiasm in the building?
Oh, it's meant a lot. You know, the brief meeting I had, you know, I went to go sit down and talk with him. You could just see, you know, he's all business, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, he's also a family man, and he's going to, you know, make sure he gets the best out of his guys. And, you know, just hearing from so many guys who played under him and for him and everything and worked with him beside him, you know, it's been nothing but great things. And, you know, to be able to have that spark and that fire, you know, going into, you know, OTAs, training camp, you know, preseason and everything, it just allows, you know, the fan base, the players, the community, everybody to get behind, you know, the team. And to be able to have that impact this early is huge. And like I said, you know, I look forward to it.
Obviously, you were had the privilege of playing in front of 100,000 people here all the time, recruited and brought in by Joe Paterno. I know you cherish that very, very much. And now you're in Tampa. What kind of football community is Tampa? Do they embrace the Bucs after going through a situation in Penn State where you were embraced so much?
Yeah, they do. Believe it or not, you know, as you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning are doing pretty good. But you know, no matter,
they made Donovan Smith a hockey fan.
You know, since moving down there, you know, I became one. But you know, no matter, you know, how well they're doing and everything, and it's not to take any shine from them, but you know, football, you know, runs down there deep.
No question.
And it's huge. And you know, a lot of people, you know, they say, oh, you don't have the same fan base and all this other stuff. There's Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans all over the world. And, Yeah. You know, just being on social media the way I am, you know, there's fans overseas that tweet me and hit me on Instagram. There's people down in Texas and Cali, Arizona, all over the place. You know, and yep. It's amazing. You know, to be able to have, the, you know, them loyal fans is key. So, you know, their fan base is definitely big.
And now let's flip it back to where we were before. What is that fan base meant, and because of their passion, how much has that helped with your involvement in Autism Speaks?
Oh, it helps a lot. You know, they love to get behind, you know, any of the players doing anything that means a lot to them. So, you know, just to be able to have that support from the fan base is huge, because, like I said, that shows that it's deeper than, you know, just football. They actually taking in what, you know, us as players, you know, like to do off the field and interested in off the field. And, you know, they back it. And, you know, you can't ask for anything else from a fan base.
Well, again, there's going to be an Autism Speaks event here eventually in State College here in a couple of weeks. But just one more time, for anybody who gets down to Florida, and we have a lot of people going down from Florida here all the time, just a couple of dates that maybe they may hear about and say, you know what, I'm going to go over to Donovan's events. What do you have?
Oh, man, listen, you got the walk, we got the bowling tournament, and we got everything. It's, like I said, it's just going to be a good time to be out there, have fun, and, you know, enjoy, you know, raising money for a great cause.
Yep. Aiden's Warriors. Donovan, you know, it's always great for me, any opportunity to get to talk with you, and I appreciate the time you gave us here today.
Oh, most definitely. I'll see you when I get up there for the spring game.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, man.
All righty.
Donovan Smith. One of the truly, truly outstanding guys that, you know, you have a privilege of being around people. Well, he's one of those guys. No question. Number 76. He has done very well for himself. Very, very well. And you know what? He deserves all the success that he's getting. We will come back with more in a moment. Jeff Byers in Pittsburgh on the NCAA Wrestling Championships. Next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Great to hear from Donovan Smith. Next half hour, we transition to wrestling with Jeff Byers in Pittsburgh as we take you around the country from Florida back to Pittsburgh. And then we'll talk with Chris Trapasso about the NFL draft. And Chris Trapasso is putting out on Friday a full 7-round mock draft. We're going to talk with him from CBSSports.com in the final half hour today. To me, the big story, and it's being underreported or under-commentated on, is the Tate Martell transfer to Miami. It's fine that he transferred. I don't care if he transferred. But he gets to play right away. And I'm sorry, that doesn't jive with me. You have to sit out of here. I mean, what did he do at Ohio State to earn the right to leave the school and then get to play right away? Did he graduate, get his degree? What has he done? What has he accomplished? Nothing. He just wants to go someplace because he doesn't think he can start there. Well, Hunter Johnson didn't think he was going to start at Clemson, so he transferred to Northwestern. Now, why does Hunter Johnson have to sit out a year, which he did already? He'll be able to play this year. What's the difference between Hunter Johnson and Tate Martell besides timing? 12 months made a difference? 12 months made a difference? Where Hunter Johnson has to sit out a year at Northwestern? as he looked at the competition at Clemson, he saw Kelly Bryant, and then he saw Trevor Lawrence. But I mean, they had already, you know, Lawrence was not on campus yet when Hunter Johnson transferred. But he also knew that they were recruiting him and trying to get him. So he decided to transfer. He went to Northwestern. He sat out a year. I don't really want to get into the Justin Fields transfer because I don't think I know enough about that, and I don't think I'm competent enough to talk about it fairly, so I'm fair to Justin Fields and so forth as to how that played out in Ohio State. We do know there was an incident involving that. How much of a role that played in the decision, we don't know because we didn't see the legal brief that they presented on it. But Shea Patterson, yeah, okay, Ole Miss gets hit, and he had nothing to do with it, whatever. But guess what? I don't mind if Shea Patterson transfers to Michigan. Sit out of here. They lost a bowl game. We've been being told over and over and over again, nah. You know, bowl games are meaningless exhibitions. You can sit that out. So that's all Ole Miss is missing right now, bowl game. Yeah, the head coach is gone, but they took one of the members of the staff and moved him up. Kept the staff. I've said the entire time when it comes to this, and I had a feeling that Patterson was going to be eligible right away at Michigan, but I've said the entire time since the moment he said this that Martell was going to be the one to tell us whether we're going to have college football free agency or not. That if they allowed him to play right away, that was going to be a bad, bad signal for college sports. It's nothing personal on my part about Tate Martell. I don't care. I hope he has a great career down there. Go to the NFL, knock it out, make some cash. I don't care. But this idea, what is to now keep the starting quarterback at USC from walking 8 miles to the UCLA campus and starting right away for UCLA? What's to keep that from happening? It's amazing how the ability to honor an agreement, and there are buyout clauses, obviously, for coaches. There are buyout clauses for executives. That's the penalty of doing business. Well, to me, sitting out a year in a transfer is your buyout clause. And are they making money? Stipends, but that's it. They're also getting Pell Grants, too, and probably a third to a half the cases they're getting Pell Grants. Third to a half, somewhere in that range. But it's amazing how the school's expected to keep all these agreements about, you know, the food you get, the housing you get, the books you get, the tuition's paid, and so forth, but you can up and leave and go anytime you want. I mean, that we're at the point now where like kicking a player off the team, people just shake their head and go, no, not gonna happen. And that's met with, and people get angry about that. So you really can't do that anymore, but the player can do whatever they want, whenever they want, and the agreement on their part doesn't mean anything. Again, the penalty is you sit out a year. Just like if you're a coach and you take another job someplace else, the penalty is there's a buyout clause. You know, our business is like that. As I mentioned, if you are an anchor at Fox News and you go to CNN, you notice the anchor disappears for 9 months. Non-compete clause. You want to go from ESPN to Fox Sports? Disappear for 9 months. Non-compete clause. You want to go from SBC TV to being the Shikellamy play-by-play guy? Matty Ice, you're going to have to sit out 9 months.
Okay. Got to wait for your time, I guess.
Your time's coming, my man. Your time's coming.